This is a HeadGum Podcast.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right.
Okay.
We're back. We said we'd do it again, and we're doing it again. If this is your first time to ever listen to this show.
You are not going to learn one thing about this documentary.
No, you're going to learn a few things.
About auditions.
Flop sweat.
Yeah, we talk about flop sweat. So that's a highlight. Well, of course, it has nothing to do with this documentary.
Of course. That's why we do the show.
Okay. All right. Shall we just get right to it?
Yep.
Ladies and jerks, welcome to White Hot, The Rise and Fall of Abercrombie & Fitch.
It all started when Tig and Cheryl met in the mid-2000s.
Hey, nice to meet you, Tig. I'm Cheryl Hines.
Hi, Cheryl. I'm Tig Notaro. Should we do a podcast about documentaries?
Yes.
A podcast about documentaries?
Is this microphone on?
Five furious frogs fiddling faintly. Furious frogs fiddling faintly. Five furious frogs fiddling
faintly. I am the first ever podcast. And Tig and Cheryl are following in the sound of my footsteps.
Let's get started.
I'm so ready.
Tig and Cheryl.
True story.
Cheryl Hines.
Hey, Tig. Notaro. Wait. I always say Ray Romano, Tig Notaro.
Still wrong. It's no taro. It's not Notaro. It's no taro.
I don't think
so. If you're ever
asking
yourself if you're saying it right, just say no.
No taro. I'm not. No taro. Okay, listen, I just want you to know I do try.
But you don't.
I do. I try
too
to
much
come up
time.
With little games. Like, for whatever reason, it reminds me of Ray Romano, but I guess it's not quite the same.
No.
Oh, because it's Taro. Oh, Romano. Wait, it doesn't matter. We don't need to talk about Ray.
Nothing matters. It's the freeing and depressing thing.
That nothing matters.
Nothing matters.
How's it going? Where are you? Oh, you're home.
Yeah, I'm in my office. Just did some shows in Northern California, and now I'm home.
All right.
Where are you?
I'm in Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
Hotlanta. I'm just looking around because I'm like, I honestly don't know where I am.
You're in a hotel.
Yeah, I'm in a hotel. I got here and I haven't left. I've just been sitting in this room.
But you just got in today, right?
Yeah, I just got in.
Yeah. I mean, where are you going to go?
Well, I mean, I could have walked around outside.
No.
Don't. Well, Tig, I mean, you want to just get into it?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So today we are talking about the documentary White Hot, The Rise and Fall of Abercrombie. Here's the problem that we're going to have through this whole episode. I have a hard time saying Abercrombie.
Oh, I do too. And I tried to say it casually to Stephanie the other night.
Yeah.
And she about fell out of her chair laughing at me.
Let's hear
with
yours.
I probably can now. Abercrombie.
It wants to come out as something else.
Yeah. Well, most of your words want to come out as something else.
And they do. So if that happens during this time together, then sue me.
So be it.
So be it.
Did you say sue me?
I did. I said,
I would love to be.
Would you in a courtroom?
Mm-hmm.
So Abercrombie. Here we go. Yep. White Hot, The Rise and Fall of Abercrombie and Fitch is a 2022 documentary directed by Allison Clayman. Mm-hmm. And its title implies, as its title implies, it's going to be one of those days. The film chronicles the ups and downs of the American clothing brand that was once a staple of the 2000s mall scene, specifically focusing on Abercrombie's exclusionary all-American image. White Hot is available to watch on Netflix. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I was watching this, I was thinking, none of this ever showed up on my register.
Nor did it show up on mine. And then I just thought, is that that thing where, is it that we're too old or is it that we just weren't like...
Well, here's the thing. I think the clothing in Abercrombie and Fitch is, for me anyway, it's not my vibe. Like,
it's not mine either. I told Stephanie that I remember seeing those stores in malls.
Yeah.
But it was a store that I would walk past and think, what's going on in there?
Same. Yeah. I would walk past and I would think, maybe I should go check it out. Then I would think, no, I don't care.
Yeah, I don't. And it was just very much like, I don't know what's going on in there. And what is going on in there? I don't know. And by the way, I'm not a big shopper, so there's not enough curiosity for me to be like, but girl, I gotta find out. Hold my purse.
I like that you have a purse. I started to go in there one day, and the music was so loud. Uh-huh. And this is when I was younger.
Yeah.
And I, like loud music, I guess, if you're at a concert, but to go into a shop at the mall and it's just like nightclub music. And and it seemed like, and now after watching this film, I think I was right. It seemed like they turned it up when I walked in, like, you're past the age limit, lady, get out. I swear to you.
I don't doubt it.
It was so loud. I couldn't hear not that anybody was talking to me.
Uh-huh.
But if anybody had been talking to me, I wouldn't have heard him.
It very much reminds me of, I would hear people talk about how they have party anxiety, and I would think, oh, that's interesting. I wonder what that's like. And then it wasn't until actually in the past year or two that I thought, I think I have party anxiety. It's that weird part of being a comedian and somebody that's a public speaker that people can think that you're into loud stuff and big crowds and you can talk and do anything, because I was also a class clown and I would, pipe up and say weird stuff and you know what I mean?
Yeah. But that's like in front of 30 quiet people.
Right. But also if somebody said, here, walk on stage at Dodger Stadium and do a show, I my pulse wouldn't raise. I would be like, fine.
That would be easier than walking into a crowded house of strangers. Everybody's having a cocktail and you're like, hey.
Yeah. I'm guys. Like, oh, God, this is terrifying to me.
So the idea that somebody makes a store in a shopping mall,
it's not going to speak to me. It's that that world. Like if somebody said, hey, do you want to go meet for coffee and I'll show you some outfits that I think, which I guess is a stylist maybe, but you want me to show you some outfits that I think you might enjoy?
I think that's a stylist.
Yeah. I would say,
I'll sit there and drink coffee while you show me stuff.
Yeah. When you pick up a shirt and say, how about this? This is cute.
I don't want to walk through a mall.
Yeah.
Okay. So listen, in the 90s and the 2000s, Abercrombie and Fitch was a cultural phenomenon. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do remember the sexy guys.
See, I don't even remember that. I was so not, I think sexy guys, gay or straight, were not calling my name. No.
They were not on your, they called my name. Mm-hmm. I do remember that was also added to the mystery of it, of what is this store? And maybe it's not, I'm probably not the person that, that's not should be, but I don't need to be in this store. Like, you mm-hmm. just see people walking down the mall with a little shopping bag, and it's just like a shirtless guy, completely ripped,
yes.
chiseled.
Yes.
Like, that's what was on the shopping bag. And it's like, what are they selling
right.
in that store?
Yeah.
But that was all part of their marketing. And people, girls and guys, I'm pretty sure,
mm-hmm.
they would plaster their lockers at school with the cutouts of these male models,
mm-hmm.
shirtless A&F boys.
Yeah.
Which is, I think maybe I was, well, by the way, I was going to say that I was too old for Abercrombie and Fitch, but even in high school, I didn't cut out pictures of boys and put them on my locker.
Yeah, I never went to my locker.
Well, you didn't go to school. I mean,
ow.
Well, you're the one that loves to bring it up. And now when I brought it up, it feels like I'm being mean.
Ow. Ouch.
I take it back.
I remember some teacher asking me to go look for something. Like, she walked with me to my locker to go. She was like, no, I want to see. Let's go look. And I said, I truly maybe can't find it, but for sure don't know the combination to get into my locker. it's not in there. It is not.
Did you and the teacher just walk around and around, and you're like, nah, this can't be it either.
Maybe this is it. I'll try my birthday. I don't know, but it's for sure not in there.
I would just write my combination on my locker next to my lock. I mean, it wasn't a good sense of security.
Well, and what are you trying to hide? What would you possibly, if you're not hiding drugs or, you're hiding an algebra book.
Yeah, please take it. A&F was overwhelmingly white and rich.
Mm-hmm.
Their models included now celebrities like Olivia Wilde, Taylor Swift, Channing Tatum, Jennifer Lawrence. And then the brand merged the sex appeal of Calvin Klein with the all-Americanness of Ralph Lauren. Mm-hmm. And so their stores always had, it was all about these shirtless male models.
Mm-hmm.
And they do talk about it in the documentary that it's kind of funny that they're selling clothes, but it's mostly
naked people.
Picture of a shirtless guy. I think that was part of the mystery, was like, I don't even, what are they advertising?
Well, you know, this documentary really piqued Stephanie's interest because she said it was such a part of her childhood.
Oh.
And it felt like, this is our age gap thing.
Oh.
But she said that with the advertisement being naked people.
Yeah.
She said it reminded her of an article that she read about Ralph Lauren or Lauren, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Stephanie was saying that Ralph Lauren would just put an ad with a cabin in the snow
mm-hmm.
with not a person in the ad. And it just said Ralph Lauren. And you knew what that meant. You knew what the clothing was going to look like.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's the same, it's kind of, you know, similar in that you're not actually showing a specific product.
Piece of clothing. No. And this whole documentary is about how the CEO, Mike Jeffries, he really just wanted to create this culture of cool kids. Like, we're the cool kids.
Mm-hmm.
And not everybody can come here.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to be a cool kid. We only like attractive people.
It's exclusive.
It's exclusive. And
not just attractive, but is this spilling the beans? But
well,
yeah.
We can say it. You can spill them. I mean,
but white.
It's called white hot.
Yeah, white hot. It's attractive white people only, essentially.
Yeah. I think people didn't realize that at first, according to this documentary. It was just like, they really appealed to young people, and they wanted one little shirt that said Abercrombie and Fitch, or one, you know, one thing. So they were kind of in this cool club, and in the stores they put brown shutters over their windows, which is kind of hilarious. So you had to go inside to even see what they were selling.
I love how something is, they're thinking they're creating something exclusive, but it's mass produced. It's just like, just t-shirts by the billions being just churned out. It's like, this is a very exclusive club.
It's an interesting combination of marketing, photography. Mm-hmm.
We have to take a break.
Oh, for fuck it.
Okay. Watch your mouth. We'll be right back on Tig and Cheryl True Story.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And we are back.
We're back
on,
okay, here
the
we go.
Popular podcast, Tig and Cheryl True Story.
We're talking about Abercrombie and Fitch. And it started out in 1892 as an outdoorsman brand. Mm-hmm. I like that they were catering to the elite adventurer like Teddy Roosevelt and Ernest Hemingway. It really came a long way from Teddy Roosevelt to like the shirtless guy from Southern California.
In their underwear with their private parts pointing at each other.
There are some...
private parts.
Well, I'm not going to say homoerotic again because it's, I don't, last time you yelled at me for that and I'm not even sure what I said. Mm-hmm. So their campaign, their ad campaign was really just shirtless guys. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it seems like they weren't wearing anything. I mean, because they weren't.
Well, because they'd be like running in a field and carrying a towel that kind of covered their private part.
Yeah, the region.
The part of them that needs privacy.
Yes. So mm-hmm. this guy, Mike Jeffries, reinvented this brand in 1992, and he hired this guy, Bruce Weber, mm-hmm. who was this very famous photographer. And Bruce, this photographer, ended up really holding a lot of power because he was deciding which models were going to be featured and who was going to do what. And apparently it really caused a lot of stress. I don't know if stress is the right word, but the models were vying for attention. Mm-hmm. You want to hear one of the models talk about how they got Bruce's attention during a photo shoot?
Yes.
Okay, here we go.
People on crew would just insinuate to just be yourself, be original, just do whatever. You know, climb trees, jump in water.
Bruce, if you caught his eye doing something natural, interacting with the wilderness, like, that would be a good way to get your picture taken.
There would just be guys, like, in a tree, just like, hey, Bruce, tree in a minute, you know? Or just, like, just doing push-ups on a curb. It's just the guys are so testosterone-y, because it's just a bunch of ripped dudes, and then the guys are trying to impress the women. It's really, it's just like, it's a humanity at its basic level.
I'm up here in a tree.
In a tree. It's all testosterone-y. Is that a word? Testosterone-y. Well, sure. We know what it means.
Yeah.
Like, we get it.
Macaroni. Testosterone.
Testosterone.
And cheese. Testosterone and cheese. That's what it was. Honestly.
That is what
Abercrombie and Fitch was...
Testosterone and cheese. Oh my God.
That is a good title.
That's a good title. So this guy, I don't know even how to get involved with Lex Wexner.
Wexner? Is that what it
Wexner.
Is?
Wexner.
Okay. Yeah,
Les Wexner, which is also very hard to say. Les Wexner. They called him the Merlin of the Mall.
Even his name is suggesting that we don't really need him.
We need Les Wexner.
Yeah. Yeah. Les Wexner. Am I right, folks?
Or just step into the lobby for some testosterone and cheese. Okay, so... Oh, in 1996, Mike Jeffries took A&F public. It helped Les Wexner become a billionaire. And employees and the public, they were all obsessed. Everybody's obsessed with Abercrombie & Fitch. Everybody wanted Abercrombie. And then in the documentary, it says, and then LFO, like a band LFO.
Mm-hmm.
Thomas, does that stand for something, LFO? We don't know. There's
when Thomas doesn't know
when
an answer.
Thomas doesn't
and
know
he and refuses to even Google it, where he just like, looks at us and just care. Goes, "I don't know." Then we've really hit rock bottom.
Google says it stands for light funky ones.
Okay, breaking news. Mr. Thomas says that it stands. Google says it stands for light. Funky ones.
Okay, so light funky ones.
Mm-hmm.
LFO. I don't even remember this band. They sang, a song called Summer Girls.
This is like great-great-grandmother's covering Billie Eilish. Or great-great-grandmother's from the 1800s covering Billie Eilish. We're like, I don't know. It says here.
I thought it was a guy. The name is Billy.
Yeah.
Who sang I'm Sexy and I Know It? That's like LMFMO or something.
I don't
LMFMO.
Know.
LMFMO. So what's the difference? LM. Light.
Light.
Machismo funky ones.
Yes.
Okay, so anyway, Bruce Weber. So you're watching this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh boy, something's got to be weird.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's having a great time. They're making so much money. This is what happens. And then all of a sudden you find out, and I don't think it was a shocker. The people that were working for the design and marketing were mm-hmm. gay guys.
Yes.
So they, of course, were like, yes, of course we're gay. And that's why when you walk into the store, there's a giant, like 20-foot tall picture of just guys' abs.
Right.
And then you find out that they were hiring just beautiful, apparently white,
mm-hmm.
young people to
yeah.
work there. No, yeah. they would target fraternities.
Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. I did like that one guy was like, yeah, you know, they would hire people to work 5 hours a week. I was like, mm-hmm. who has a job for 5 hours a week?
It sounds nice. I mean, sometimes that's my job, I guess, if I'm not touring or filming something.
You're like a nope, not going to do it.
It's not going to happen
it's
today.
It's not going to happen on that one. Model. Yeah. Anyway.
I'm just like an Abercrombie model.
So much like an Abercrombie model. So they would go to fraternity houses, and then they would have guys be brand ambassadors. And they mm-hmm. would say, you have to wear our clothes. And then other guys would see them wearing their clothes. And, you know, I mean, I guess it was a good marketing strategy. It mm-hmm. worked. And then Mike Jeffries, the guy who was running it, He was pretty mysterious. He was kind of, you know, not shocking, a white guy.
He was trouble. Yeah, he was trouble.
He was very obsessed with the look of the store. He didn't want any dust. He wouldn't let guys wear any jewelry, any necklaces.
No tattoos.
Clean cut. Yeah. You could have hair with a nice cut, but you couldn't have dreadlocks.
They had like an actual thing that, you know, yeah. a yes.
Do's and don'ts.
Yeah, the do's and don'ts. The yeses and the no's.
Okay, so now things start to, now the wheels come off.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to even talk about it because it just, it's so awful when you're watching it. But we, you know, that's what we're here for.
We are here.
So in 2002, A&F comes out with a series of graphic t-shirts. Remember how popular those were? It was like, nope.
I missed that too. I was looking at that going, where was I when all of this was happening?
You didn't have any graphic tees. I'm trying to remember if I had any. I can't remember.
I did not have any graphic tees.
It's like a little island, you know, like a picture of an island. And it would say, you know, Tiki Bar, Hawaii, established in, nope.
Picture me going into a store and being like, I have got to get
the Tiki Bar.
Tiki Bar t-shirt. It just, all of this escaped me somehow. Okay. I Mr. Magoo'd my way right through this.
I mean, what were you wearing? You've just been wearing the same thing. You've just been wearing the same thing.
Well, I mean, just t-shirts or button downs or whatever, but not like, I've never really been into anything that says The Gap or Old Navy or Abercrombie and Fitch. I always feel weird when I'm advertising for people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I remember in maybe seventh grade, I had a shirt. Remember when those shirts were popular that said Coca-Cola? Do you remember that?
Yes, but that, see, that's sort of a graphic tea then, because the next generation thinks that's cute. Okay, so go ahead.
Okay, yeah, I had that and I felt like
people must think I love Coca-Cola.
Yeah, it was just such a weird thing. These Coca-Cola sweaters and stuff. But after that, it was more like bands, like concert t-shirts.
Right,
And just plain t-shirts or button-downs. Right. Or
but you don't
sweaters.
Have anything that says, I don't do mornings with a cat holding a coffee cup.
No. But my old assistant, Patrick.
Yeah.
And you met Patrick. And our Snark Bulls have seen him on the streaming show. Because he pops in.
He lives there.
Because he...
He lives in the backyard or something.
He lives free range in our backyard at our office. But anyway, he's really into funny coffee mugs that say... Uh-huh. You know, just
those types
really,
of things.
Yeah, just really ridiculous, cheesy coffee mug stuff. And it's on my radar now. So now I really enjoy those kind of coffee mugs.
I have a coffee mug because my daughter's name is Kat that says, you've cat to be kitten me right now.
I would slurp down coffee out of that, no problem. But a Tiki Bar t-shirt of a place never went or that's not even real?
Right. That's the thing. It seems like, if you go to that place and that's cute. But then, just a weird. Okay. Okay. So here's what happened. So they start, Abercrombie and Fitch comes out with all these little kitschy t-shirts that everybody's buying. Everybody's loving them. And there's like, there's a little picture, a little, drawing or whatever that looks like.
Yes.
Okay. So then they had one. It was like a sort of caricatures of Asian people at a laundromat or dry cleaner or something. And it said, two Wongs can make it white.
Yes.
Ugh, that's when you're watching this and you're just like, oh, God, I hate everything about what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Asian American student group started protesting Abercrombie and Fitch and really making it clear that that's offensive and people should pay attention to this. And that's when their public image started changing. Mm-hmm. So up till then, they had been like the cool people, pretty people wear these, Abercrombie and Fitch. Although apparently you find out later that they don't even have like plus sizes or it doesn't even seem like they had extra large or anything.
Right.
Oh, it's like the, you ever go into a store and it's like one size fits all?
It's no. Like, I don't. What store is that?
Well, my daughter goes into, I think it's Brandy.
7-Eleven?
No, it's like a little, young women's store. Brandy Melville or something. And it's, and you walk in and it's like, I said, oh, what were the sizes? And they're like, oh, one size fits all. It's like, that's impossible. And they're like, no.
I've seen that with socks, and even that is confusing, where I'm looking at my foot when I'm 7 years old and I'm looking at my father's foot and I'm like, one size fits all.
Like, how is that possible? I understand with like a slanket. Wait, is that what they're called? The slankets? You know what I'm talking about?
No.
What else are they called? What do you mean? The blinkies? What are they called, Thomas? It's like a blanket that you wear.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
Frilly?
They're called slankets?
There's another word for it, too, but I can't remember.
But one binkies? Size fits all. Binkies? Yeah.
You it can't on be binkies. No, it can't be a binky. But it's like that. It's like kitschy like that.
It could be a binky, but it's for sure not a binky.
It's not a binky. It'll come to me.
A snuggie?
Oh, a snuggie.
A snuggie.
Which is ironic because they're not snug at all.
And we should, but they're snuggly. We should leave in the audio of Thomas's voice saying, a snuggie.
Just like real sad and disappointed that this is his job. Like
/ disgusted. But he has to eavesdrop on this and then Google that and then say, a snuggie.
Oh, no,
we have to take a break.
No.
We'll be right back on Tig and Cheryl True Story.
Oh, no.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
And we're back on Tig and Cheryl True Story.
Okay.
A snuggie.
Okay, we're moving on from the snuggie. Okay, so here's what happened. So after this, after people started protesting and really like, you know, marching in front of the store, A&F's public image started changing. It was kind of sad / nerdy funny. Mm-hmm. One of the guys like really loved Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. Was it one of the one of the employees really loved Spider-Man. And then when he saw Sam Raimi's Spider-Man, Flash Thompson, Peter Parker's bully, was dressed head to toe in Abercrombie and Fitch in the movie, which was part of, you know, clearly very intentional. Like, only I was going to say douchebags, but I've never used that word before. And
I haven't either. I don't
even
like
understand
that word.
It.
And here's the thing. This is a little
douchey. That's also not good. Okay,
go ahead. Don't use that.
No,
either.
I don't either. I don't know what's bringing it out.
That's why we're friends. But I worked for Sam Raimi when he was making Spider-Man.
Was one of your job? No, I know it wasn't going to Abercrombie and Fitch to get the costumes.
But do you want to know a really interesting side note about this?
Yes.
So I worked for Sam Raimi, the director, when he was making Spider-Man.
Yes.
And this was when I was still just an open mic comedian. I was an assistant for this director. And then he said, why don't you come in and audition for this role? And I was like, okay.
Of Spider-Man?
For a small role in
love
the movie.
If you were Spider-Man. Go ahead.
So they let me leave the office and go over to Sony.
That's so nice.
And yeah, and we were at Universal, which is, that's where the production office was for the other stuff he was working on. But for Spider-Man, it was over at Sony. So I had to drive across.
All the way over.
I mean, all the
in
way
In LA,
over.
That's like a, that's an.
It's like a 4-hour day.
Yeah, it's a long, yeah. It's a long trip.
And I had never auditioned for anything. I had never attempted to be actor person at all. And I get in there and I just froze and flop sweat everywhere. And then I just got back in my car and drove back to the office. And then years later, I'm doing a movie with Octavia Spencer called Instant Family. Mm-hmm. I highly recommend it.
Okay.
And she was talking about how when she first came to Los Angeles, she worked for this casting director and that they worked on Spider-Man. And I was like, oh my gosh. I said, I worked for Sam Raimi when he did Spider-Man. And she was like, really? And I said, yeah. And he had me audition for a role that I actually ended up not getting. And she said, ah, this sounds kind of familiar. I feel like I remember someone flagging someone coming in saying that they worked for, they flagged this audition time saying this person works for Sam. And I was like, oh, well, that was me.
But in a good way or bad way or just like
just
heads
like,
up?
Just flagging heads up. It. Heads up. Okay. Sam's an assistant from Sam's office is coming in. And Octavia was like, that sounds so familiar. And I was like, well, that was me. And she said, well, you know what's crazy is they let me audition for a role also in Spider-Man. And she said, I ended up getting it. And it was the role I auditioned for. And it was Octavia Spencer's first like break in a movie. And she's the person at the wrestling ring checking people in when Spider-Man goes in to wrestle. That was the role I auditioned for. And Octavia Spencer beat me out of it.
Oh, well, it sounds like you deserved it.
Listen, I've been angry ever since. But it's really interesting to go back and see that and be like, that's Octavia Spencer.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Anyway.
Did I ever tell you about the terrible, terrible audition I had for, I think it was for Damon Wayans? Did he?
I don't know.
Was he? Remember? Okay. Stop me if you've heard this. But
nope.
It was for scary, one of the scary movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a spoof of a scary movie. And
sure.
The whole audition. And at this point in my career, I was already on Curb Your Enthusiasm. So, you know, some people knew who I was. So it wasn't like I just was. So the audition was, I was playing the role of the girl who's possessed mother.
Mm-hmm.
And so sort of a takeoff of, what's the scary movie where the, you know, I'm going to.
Oh, that one?
You know, what's
it's
one of the...
every single
no,
scary
like
movie.
No, like the first scary movie where everybody flipped out because the girl was possessed. Thomas.
It's not the first scary
but
movie.
Come on.
Blair Witch?
No, even before that. No. Oh my God, this is awful.
Oh, The Exorcist.
Yes, thank you. So it was like a spoof of The Exorcist. So I was playing the mom and then the priest comes in to check on the kid and I take the priest's hat and I'm hanging it up and I catch myself in the mirror holding the hat and I start doing a Michael Jackson impersonation. And that was the whole audition. And so...
Wait, they asked you to do that?
Yes, that was... Yes. No, I knew that's what I was going to be doing.
Okay.
So I walk in and it's like a big room and I think it was Damon. I think he was... directing.
Who cares?
It doesn't
Who
matter.
Cares?
It doesn't matter. He's in the corner by himself, like not making eye contact with anybody, not even looking at anybody. Mm-hmm. And then there's like the casting director is set up in the middle of this room with a camera.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it in this giant room. And she was like, okay, you know, whenever you're ready. And I said, oh, do you have a hat? And she goes, no. I was like... I could just feel like the heat, like you're talking about flop sweat. I could feel it coming. I just, my whole body starts getting hot because I'm like, I have two choices. Either just turn around and walk out now because it's not going to, nothing good is going to happen in this moment
right,
in time.
Right.
But I didn't. I mimed like I had a hat. And
and didn't get the part.
And I acted like I saw myself in a pretend mirror and went, ee-hee! And then, and then moonwalked.
Right out of there.
Moonwalked, holding on to my imaginary hat. And I'm telling you, there was not one peep in the room. There was not a smile. There was not a laugh. It was just like, oh no, that's the lady from Curb. Just said ee-hee and moonwalked.
The only thing that would make that story better is if you misunderstood them and they hadn't asked you to do that.
But you know what's terrifying is that's tape has to be out there somewhere. I mean, I'm sure nobody's like sitting, the Wayans brothers are not sitting around watching my audition tape of, and, you know, apparently they cut the role altogether. Listen, it's hard being an actor. That's all I'm saying is.
Yeah.
Where were
it's
we?
It's tough stuff.
It's I mean, it's not digging ditches. It's not digging ditches, but it does make you sweaty.
But what if you were moonwalking and they opened the door to the office and insinuating, just keep on going. Keep moonwalking on out. And then what was the walk to your car and driving off like?
It was like, oh, I need to rethink some things. I mean, like... I remember getting in my car and thinking, I shouldn't be this sweaty after an audition. That's not a good sign. It's not a good sign. Like, you are not in the right place doing the right thing.
You're walking off like Swamp Monster, just dripping in sweat.
And I love Damon Wayans. That's the other thing. Like, I felt like, oh, we are going to be kindred spirits, and I can't wait to meet him, have a few laughs.
Isn't that funny how people think that? And then you meet someone.
And he's like in the corner, like, just do the thing and, yeah, moonwalk out of here.
Moonwalk on out of here. Of course we're cutting this role. We just haven't gotten the official word yet, but go ahead.
Oh, it hurts. Okay.
And I'm sorry, what did that have to do with...
I don't know. Well, right. Oh, Sam Raimi as Spider-Man.
Okay. And we're back.
It doesn't have to do with anything.
It doesn't have to do with... If this is your first time listening to Tig and Cheryl True Story, this is a perfect example of the show.
Of our content.
Yeah.
Okay, so Spider-Man. So now it's not cool to have Abercrombie and Fitch. Yeah. And then there's a woman in this documentary named Carla Barrientos. And she was a former employee. She's a Black woman. And she was saying that she never got to work during the day. She only had night shifts where she had to, you know, clean up and vacuum up at the end of the day.
Wash windows.
And she asked, you know, somebody at the store, can I do day shifts? Mm-hmm. And they said, no. No, the schedule's already set. That's, you know. But one of her friends worked there and worked during the day. And they both agreed, okay, yeah, let's switch shifts. You take mine, I'll take yours. Mm-hmm. And then the supervisor or whomever at the store said, no, that cannot happen. And then she was taken off the schedule altogether.
Yeah.
She was saying at the time it didn't really hit her, you know, because – she was so young. That's what several of the people in this documentary said. They were so young at the time that it, and they loved the store and they loved that, you know, young, everybody's sort of partying and beautiful. Mm-hmm. That they didn't really realize what was going on. Then other people of color started having similar stories and then were fired because of their race or the fact that they didn't look like the Caucasian model on the posters. A&F's excuse was that they weren't being racially discriminated against. They were being fired because they were just ugly. I mean, who? It was so maddening watching this part. Mm-hmm. Were you losing your mind?
Yes. And of course, whether you're technically attractive or not, put all of that aside.
Yeah.
This particular woman
was beautiful. That's exactly.
That was the other shocking thing is you're just sitting there going, what are you talking? Like, what? Of course, no matter, you can't judge somebody based on that for job performance regardless. But I mean, the fact that this was coming out of her mouth that is attached to her face.
Yeah.
That is so attractive was
outrageous.
I don't understand.
I didn't understand it either. And then there was another guy who they also talked to who said that he was being let go because they thought he looked Filipino.
Or they had enough Filipinos.
Oh, they had. Yeah.
What world is like, we have our Filipino quota.
It is beyond.
It's baffling. I mean, obviously, things luckily have changed so much, and obviously there needs to be so much more change, yeah. But that was
it
was without flinching.
Right.
From top, trickle down from the top. Like, absolutely. Yes. Tell them we're all set on Filipinos.
It is beyond absurd. And so eventually, former employees sued Abercrombie for discrimination in a class action lawsuit. Mm-hmm. And A&F admitted no guilt, but settled the suit for almost $50 million. What was horrifying, too, is that after the lawsuit, nothing really changed. But instead of calling the young, beautiful people, you know, the salespeople, they called them models. And then the people in that worked in the back were called impact. So they could still hire people on their looks because they were technically models. And then the models would describe Bruce Weber's inappropriate behavior on the shoots. We really only heard from male models in this documentary, right? I don't think girls and women really showed up on anybody's radar at Abercrombie & Fitch. That was not
probably
the focus.
Just in general.
I think just in the world. General.
Just it took a while to just kind of start to show up.
Yeah. The models would say, one of the guys was saying, you know, they were on location on a shoot and Bruce said, why don't you come to my room or whatever? And he said, no, thanks. And they sent him, they gave him a ticket, plane ticket back home. Mm-hmm. So this guy, Bruce, they were both clearly taking advantage of these guys.
I can't imagine being that man.
But by the way, I'm pretty sure, I feel very confident that this has been happening with women and men for a long time as well. I'm sure there are female models out there who probably have similar stories.
But I'm just thinking of having these ideas in life and putting them into action and...
Oh, I know. It's so crazy.
It's hard. Like when you really not just go, whoa, how crazy, what crazy, weird behavior. When you actually really think about putting yourself into that situation, making these decisions, acting on them.
And then having a lot of people following you. And, you know, you're telling people to do this and that. And and then in 2006, a journalist, Benoit Denizet Lewis, releases an article about Michael Jeffries.
Apologies.
Sorry. Benoit? How do you think you say it?
Benoit. I don't know.
Okay.
Am I lying on you?
Please don't. In which he openly calls the brand exclusionary, and he has a very specific vision for who they are designing for: heterosexual sexy women and heterosexual sexy men. Very interesting.
But stop short of saying white.
Right. And in 2013, his article goes viral, and then there's a huge movement against Michael Jeffries, and then people boycott Abercrombie and Fitch, and then they started a petition to get rid of Mike. What's his name?
Well, who cares? People know. Just the
he's
the
big bad
guy.
He's the bad white guy.
Uh-huh. And it worked.
And it did work.
It took a while.
It took a while, but he finally stepped down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that doesn't sound like much of a punishment, does it?
No. Well, he left with tens of millions of dollars, too.
Yeah.
What was it, $27 million he walked away with?
Yeah, $27 million retirement package. That's absurd.
It's a good amount of cash.
And then in 2015, Abercrombie and Fitch, is that right?
Who cares? Doesn't matter. A&F.
They get in trouble again because they won't hire a teen because of her headscarf.
Mm-hmm.
And so A&F dug in their heels, refused to settle. The case went to the Supreme Court. Abercrombie loses the case in an 8-1 vote. And the one vote that said that in favor of Abercrombie and Fitch was
Clarence Thomas.
Absurd.
That guy is a loser.
So.
And you know what? I don't even care if Clarence Thomas is a fan of this show and he's listening.
You're not even going to say, hey, Clarence, hey.
No.
Nay,
no.
Clarence, nay.
Nay, Clarence, nay.
But apparently she won a lot of, I'm assuming she won a lot of money. I think there was, you know, an undisclosed amount.
She drove off in a Rolls.
Yeah, like flipping them all off.
Yeah.
Go fuck yourself.
That's good. Do you do voiceover work? Was that the sound? It was that like a car driving off and like the voice disappearing in
yes,
the distance?
It was okay. Going so fast. It was like
yeah,
in the distance.
Yeah.
Go fuck yourself. Okay. other top A&F brass are embroiled in a scandal. Les Wexler gets in trouble for his close ties to sex offender Jeffrey Epstein.
Mm-hmm.
That's a can of worms that we shan't open. And Bruce Weber gets sued by former models, settling two sexual assault cases just last year. And then now the brand...
It still exists.
It still exists. They've rebranded themselves to be more inclusive and diverse under the leadership of CEO Fran Horowitz. So, I mean, I guess it has a good ending.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not, you know, dying to get into Abercrombie and Fitch and buy some khakis.
People can hear you, Cheryl. People can hear you say that.
But I also did. I also wasn't going in there before, so.
Okay, but what if they came to you saying, we have a $27 million modeling deal.
Yes.
You sign up immediately.
Yeah.
Where do I sign?
Where do I sign? You want me to climb a tree? Look at me. I'm in a tree. I'm doing push-ups on the curb. So that's it. Tig, are you ready for our final thoughts?
Yep.
Okay. It's time for Happily Ever After Thoughts, where we give our final thoughts on this week's documentary. Did you cry?
I did not.
No. Okay, but who were you attracted to? There were so many attractive people in this. Are you acting like there weren't attractive people in this? What are you acting like? Your face is, you're very pensive.
Who were you attracted to?
Well, I liked the male model that had the sleeveless, like the cutoff sleeveless tank, not a tank top. But by the way, I also don't like cutoff sleeves.
Wait, the big muscle guy?
I guess. Was he muscly?
I don't know.
He was cute, though. He was just, I liked his personality. And
wait, was he the one where he was like, I'm going to move your hand?
Yeah.
I would have to say the woman that, the employee that won, that they said was,
Carla?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Carla. She was awfully cute. I mean, I'm sure she still is. Hey, Carla, hey.
Hey, Carla, hey.
All right. Well, I hope everyone got a clear picture of what that documentary was about.
I think oh my gosh. You and I should co-direct a documentary and see how off the rails it would go. We would truly follow a squirrel for miles. I mean, like, oh, look at it. Oh, it's going up the tree. It's Wait, what?
Wait, what are we doing? Reminds me of a story. Yeah. No, it would be the worst documentary ever made.
I don't know. I love squirrels.
Well, that does remind me of when I was snorkeling.
Here we go.
It's not a good story, but I did see
snorkeling.
It's snorkeling. And I saw a sea turtle. And I wanted to follow it. First of all, they swim very fast.
Yeah.
Don't be fooled. And I really got away from the group very quickly. I was swimming so fast, trying to follow a sea turtle. Anyway, so that's all for this week's episode. And next week, we'll be talking about Dead Asleep. And you can watch it on Hulu. Okay, before we go, do you want to do some true fan mail?
Yep.
Okay, this is from Sarah M. Hey, Sarah.
Hey, Sarah.
Hey. I absolutely loved the Social Dilemma episode for two reasons. Mm-hmm. First, the documentary itself was a very minor topic. You couldn't have talked about it for more than 5 to 10 minutes total. It's funny because in my mind, I feel like we covered it.
Yeah.
That's my favorite kind of episode, as I thoroughly enjoy your meandering banter. Second, we finally got to hear Thomas speak. Oh, it was surprisingly exhilarating. I couldn't believe my earballs when we actually heard his voice. Just the week before, I was thinking, are we ever going to know what Thomas's voice sounds like? I hope we get to hear him again in future episodes. I picture him as an all-knowing person. Every time Tig and Cheryl don't know something because there's no way to know, he gives them the answer in a split second.
They don't understand editing. But it is still very fast. Yeah. He's very fast.
If he's not all-knowing, he Googles really fast. Thank you for such a wonderful show, Sarah M. Oh, that was nice.
Thanks, Sarah M. Thanks. Thomas is all-knowing, and he's a speedy Googler.
A speedy Googler. This is from Amber L. Hey, Amber L.
Hey, Amber L. Hey.
I'm an episode behind, bad vegan, but you had me cackling at myself during this discussion. Could you fall in love with someone you had never met? Yep, 100% did it. We were together for over a year before we were ever on the same continent.
Wow.
If you do, never send them money. I sent expensive gifts and the money to buy a new bed. She didn't ask, but in retrospect, it was probably pretty dumb. I got a passport, bought a ticket for my first ever international flight, took precious vacation time, and ended up immigrating. We've been married for 12 years, have 2 kids,
whoa,
and are just as in love as ever and happier than most couples I know. So while I may have done all of the dumb things, sometimes it can work out. Hopefully you won't be doing an episode covering a documentary about us later. Thanks for the laughs. Oh my gosh.
That's awesome. I love hearing that.
Well, I guess I'll take back.
Take everything you've ever said back. That would be my.
Amber L. I take it all back.
Yeah.
That's so nice. Wow. Amber L.
I love hearing about people in love and happy. And
I know. 12 years later, that's very sweet.
Yeah, it's nice. Cheryl, do you have anything you want to mention or promote?
The Flight Attendant on HBO Max. It's really fun. It's a little crazy. It's a sexy and dramatic. I mean, I'm not.
Are you sexy?
Yeah,
you know,
it sounds like I'm acting like I'm the sexy one. Oh. No, but also, this is kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I went to Puerto Rico and I was shooting in Puerto Rico and I couldn't talk about it because they hadn't announced it.
Yep.
But they've announced it. They've announced it. So Rachel Harris and I are going to be on the first episode of the second season of Fantasy Island.
Braggadocious alert!
Wee-oo-wee-oo. Well, it sounded so fun that we were playing best friends from high school and we were nerds in high school. And then our fantasy is to be the cool kids.
Oh my gosh, are you wearing Abercrombie and Fitch?
Could you imagine? But, you know, we have flashbacks to our prom. I mean, the show is crazy. And
will they book me?
Do you want to go to Fantasy Island?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Well, I was at the airport and ran into Kaylee a couple of days ago.
You really?
Yeah. Yeah. And I was going to mention how she's on the flight attendant, but I thought I'm not going to be the 10 billionth person to say that.
Oh, you're getting on a flight and you're the flight attendant.
Well, no, she and I were arriving home at the same time. And if people out there have not seen the episode of Under a Rock with my guest, Kaylee Cuoco, I highly recommend you go online and Google that. Mr. Thomas was the head writer, and Kaylee was so fun to have on the show. And as far as what I would like to promote here, Saturday, May 14th is my album release party in Los Angeles at the Ace Theater. Get your tickets now, okay?
Wow.
Get your tickets now. It's going to be a special night album release party on the 14th in Los Angeles. And if you're out of town, shoot, girls' night, get tickets, fly in. And then the 19th, I'll be in Birmingham, Alabama. May 20th, Nashville. The 25th, Amherst, Massachusetts. The 26th, Ithaca, Ottawa on June 3rd. Toronto on the 4th. San Diego, July 23rd.
Hey, San Diego. Hey.
Hey, San Diego. Hey.
Good morning, San
Honolulu, August 12th. Hey, Honolulu. Hey. Vancouver, August 5th. Victoria, August 6th.
Okay, we get it.
Oh, my gosh.
We get it. We get it. We get it. We get it.
I'm everywhere. All right. But really come to the album release. That's going to be
fun. That sounds fun. I'm going to try to go to that.
Yes. Cheryl's going to try to go to that, which means she will be there. She's going to be there. All right. Should we do it again?
Let's do it again. Tig and Cheryl True Story is hosted by me, Cheryl Hines, and Tig Notaro. It's produced by Gabby Kovacic and Thomas Ouellette, audio engineered and edited by Thomas Ouellette, with music by David Sussin. Special thanks to Patrick McDonald and Stephanie Allen. Follow us on social media for updates and review and rate True Story on Apple Podcasts. We really appreciate it. You can email us at tigandcherylTrueStory@gmail.com.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.